They say if you have the right address and the right dress, chances are you will close the deal faster than you can imagine. I'll expand on that. By right address, meaning the right contact, the right network, the decision maker, and the right dress is, are you dressed or do you match the culture? It's not like the physical dress. Of course, there is that element too. But do you speak the language? Are you resonating with the customer? Are you in sync? Is the wavelength the same? If the answer is yes, then the probability of you closing a deal becomes higher if you're a salesperson. So if you're a salesperson trying to network your way through to a sales leader, this episode is just up there for you. Of course, I am going to touch on LinkedIn as a sales tool or a platform which can help you get there. And if you've been following BuzzTalk previously, you will know that we have a theme every month. The previous month, the theme was building a robust sales team. In the month of February, we have LinkedIn Mastery for Sales Professionals. So last week was building a powerful LinkedIn brand for sales success. And today, we are going to talk about networking strategies to expand your sales reach. Clearly, on LinkedIn, most sales leaders interact, engage in various ways. And so how do you make the most of it? If this is something that floats your boat, you have tuned into the right show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to BuzzTalk, a podcast about your life at work. And if you're in sales, business development, marketing, or any of the ancillary functions, this is a dedicated content for largely applicable to folks between, say, 4 to 14 years of work experience. Not to say folks below 4 years won't find the content interesting. They will, because this is something that will gear them up for what to expect in their careers in the near future. And of course, if you're greater than 14, 15 years, of course, this will also make sense to you. If you're approaching, say, 20 years or 25 years and you're a leader, then you can always reflect back and see how you are doing better, perhaps. And if not, then get some things to think about. BuzzTalk by design is not a prescriptive podcast. It's not, there's no magic bullets which can say, hey, you follow these three silver bullets and your problems will be solved. There is no instant gratification. It's a rather slow burn, simple, net of the story, straight talk. And the whole goal is to steer clear from all the mumbo jumbo that we hear in and around the common workplace. As always, the disclaimer, the content that you hear in this episode or at BuzzTalk has no bearing on the professional engagements that I've been previously employed, currently employed, or perhaps will future be employed with. It's a purely personal point of view, and the reason you need to keep it that way and not associate it with my employers is because the content is curated from interacting and learning from professionals across the world outside the current engagements. And it's almost like a summary of learnings as you know, as you travel through your corporate journey. And I've been around for close to 20 plus years, and so there has been a ton of learnings, experiences, perceptions, and corrections, and so on and so forth. And it's still a work in progress. So for those who are tuning in for the first time, BuzzTalk is a work in progress. It's nothing etched in stone. I think the mindset that you need to have is by the time you exit the end of the podcast, any of the episodes in BuzzTalk is like, oh, I got something to think about. And that's all it aims to be. Did it make you sit up and think? And if it didn't, that's fine too. All right, on that note, let's dive into today's episode, the second for February, the theme of February, which is Mastering LinkedIn for Sales Professionals. And today we will figure out various networking strategies to expand your sales reach. So So now you're a salesperson sifting through LinkedIn, trying to research your customer, and you found the decision maker or a set of people. Of course, you don't know them in person, perhaps, and you want to reach out. And so you hit the connect request and then it goes cold. There is no response. And then you wonder whether LinkedIn is right at all, whether what's the point. You try various other tools like ZoomInfo or some of the other tools that are available to see if you can find some more. Sales Navigator, you find some information, but the connection is just not happening. So if this is a situation that you find familiar, how do you navigate around it? How do you fix this situation? How do you crack the code? Now, let me give you from a leader's perspective or from a decision maker's perspective so that you get to understand what's going on. So if I'm a decision maker of a company in charge of making an impact on an ongoing project or initiative, subconsciously, I already know that there are going to be a whole bunch of people who will reach out to me, right? Given the example of voicemails, people get key decision makers on an average get anywhere between 30 to 40 voicemails, especially if there is an upcoming initiative. By voicemails, I mean people trying to reach out incessantly and their phone keeps buzzing and or their emails keep getting flooded and it starts to go into spam and your inbox gets flooded. Especially if you're in a large organization leading a large initiative, there will be a whole bunch of guys, right? The tier one guys, OEMs will, and their sales teams will reach out. Then their partners, and then there would be the rookie ones who will just trying to piggyback. And there could be the odd ones who will say, hey, while this is could be, you're probably looking at some other initiative. However, we are complementary services. Now, this is, of course, assuming that the information is available to your group. But I'm giving you from a decision maker's mindset perspective that whenever there is an upcoming upgrade or change in infrastructure, you're going to buy some new stuff over a period of time, then you do set out feelers in and around the network, and then you start speaking with people, as in various vendors. And so the news spreads like wildfire, especially, like I said, if it's a marquee project and everything. And so it becomes increasingly difficult and overwhelming with the response. Parallel analogy being in hiring, right? When you just put out a hiring advert, there will be some thousand applications that will flood in, completely random stuff, right? People don't read the job description. They just say, oh, this guy said he's hiring, so just let me anyways try. I might be a Python developer, but the job description is for a business development or a marketing profile. And they say, okay, but can you forward my resume to the tech support or whatever, or the development consulting team or stuff like that. And so it becomes a nightmare for the recruiter to sift through the right resumes, the right requests, and shortlist them and then process or talk to them. Likewise, while a project is decided or initiated, there's a business problem that is happening, and hence you need to have an initiative. And so the business problem is impacting you if you're one of those key members of the team, and you need to get it solved pronto. You need to get it resolved as early as possible so that there is no disruption in business continuity. But you're very cautious as a leader so as to not give away the impact of the problem, the nature or the extent of the problem, business problem. Why? Because once the vendors know that, then they will negotiate harder and stuff like that. So it's a cat and mouse game. While the salespeople, of course, want to exactly find out how big the problem is, how deep the problem is, how long the problem has been, why has it not been resolved, why can't it wait for another 6 months, and so on and so forth. In this course, you are the salesperson trying to crack this information. And the available tool that you have right now is trying to find the key people in this conversation, which can perhaps forward the cause. So we'll have to divide this into three phases. One, when you've just stumbled upon this requirement. Two, when you have stumbled upon an ongoing thing as little late. And one, where the decision is perhaps about to be made and it's like almost done deal and you kind of miss the bus. So three distinct phases. Let's talk about the first phase. When there is a project, there is an initiative which is upcoming and you are the salesperson trying to crack that code. And it could be through your cold call, email drip. You could have made contact through a marketing event or something like that. Net of the story, you now know that this particular person in this particular company has an upcoming requirement. And so now you, the first thing that you need to do is to figure out what stage are you getting connected with the customer? Are they at the initial design stage? By design stage, I mean initial figuring out stuff stage. Is it a stage where they're already neck deep in the problem and they need instant, immediate solution? Or is it something that it's a good to have, but nothing immediate and now? I think spend a lot of time upfront to find out what stage of engagement are they in. So if you're trying to reach them via LinkedIn, then it is important to know the business decision-making process. What is the process? How do you know that? One is reaching out via email and getting some time to have a con call or a teleconversation. And in that conversation, instead of going hammer and tongs about the features and benefits, you just go back in time, go back in history and say, how did you get to this current situation? What are the challenges and so on and so forth. But if you're on LinkedIn and trying to map out the organization, especially if you talk to a large organization, then you know that there'll be at least 6 or 7 people who will be involved in this decision-making process. And if you're in this B2B sales environment, then you will need to talk to, of course, the IT folks, but also the non-IT folks. So once you have this mental map, I could talk to maybe the HR, maybe the finance, maybe procurement. And of course, if there are some other divisions which impact the process, then I need to map those people. So first make a list of people in that organization that you need to connect. And once you do that in your list of 6 or 7 people, what is it that you want to land as a message to them? What should be their takeaway? Why should they talk to you? Have that prepared upfront rather than just sending them a connect request and saying, I want to connect and I want to talk about your business. It won't work. So how do you begin this process in this phase one, right? So first up is have a personalized connection request. Craft a personalized message when sending connection requests to sales leaders, highlighting common interests or mutual connections or even the business problem that you can potentially solve in very few words. Don't go like a paragraph on that. So if you know when you send a connection request to a potential customer via LinkedIn, you will have add note as an option. By all means, add 2 lines, a summary 2 lines, why they should talk to you. And if after having sent those 2 lines in the connection request, they still don't, then maybe they won't. And that's where you've got to try the same approach or a different approach to some of the other leaders. That's one way of doing it. Second is once you hit the connect request, you see, once you identify the person, see how many common connects do you have? Is there someone who can get you introduced to this person? And that's why I keep saying, don't have dormant contacts on LinkedIn. I get so many people getting gung-ho about, I've got 10,000 followers. I've got 70,000. I'm like, what is the point? What is the point of having 10,000 followers when you can't remember them by their first name, even the 15 of them who can help you get to somewhere? Is it not? If you have not networked with them, if you have not engaged with them, if you have not added value to them, what is the point of having such a connection? And so the first prerequisite is to see you have a constant engagement with your set of contacts. It's not the number of contacts that you have, but the quality of engagement that you have per contact, which will help you a long way in getting to the decision maker or bunch of people in the target organization. So that personalized connection request is one thing that you do. Then get a reference or referral through some of your common connects that you do. The third thing you can try is, of course, engaging in groups. Suppose you are in the high tech vertical or the fintech or BFSI, whatever. That leader, chances are, will be part of some group where these common discussion points are. See if you can be part of that group, be active in that group, and therefore sort your whole sheet, as it were, the sales sheet. Which, what I mean to say by that is, if you have 50 customers, introduce a column on which industry, which vertical, and then go to those groups. So you have, of the 100 customers, 20 are BFSI, 10 are in high tech, and 5 are in energy, utilities, whatever be the mix. It's never a homogeneous mix, right? It's a mix of customers. And so sort it according to the company, industry, or vertical, and then identify the groups that are available on LinkedIn where such discussions are happening. So if there's a fintech group, go join the fintech group and see if you are part of that. In fact, that could be a good conversation starter with your key customer, that, hey, I'm part of this fintech group, and I assume that you're a finance professional. Would it be possible for us to engage and interact and learn from your experiences in that group? Can I invite you into that group? It's much better than jumping right into the conversation and saying, hey, you have an upcoming initiative, I want to partake in that. And so idea is to be around the company's engagement. It's not like you're stalking them. It's like being consistent about it. Not because it's about stalking, it's about consistency in engagement in the vertical that your target customer operates in, right? So make sure you have an engaging content with these customers, in the groups that they interact and spend time with, especially these decision makers that you have. The third thing that you can do is comment on their posts. If they are engaging somewhere, you comment on their posts and see if you find a reaction, and slowly, gradually, and don't be cagey about if they say, hey, thanks and all, can I also engage with you? We are in a similar conversation. And sense how your engagement is being received. If the engagement is, oh, so your ulterior motive is to get me to the table to talk, I would rather have you go through the process than back off. But if the engagement is well received and say, hey, it's nice to connect, let me, and you continue that, like, it's not like fill it, shut it, forget it, that you have this long-term relationship going. And that's why work your network. And so it wouldn't come as a surprise that you're trying to build a bridge when you need it. Ideally, you should build a bridge when you don't need it. And so figure out which stage they are in terms of the current initiative. And that's a fair question. Then you can custom tailor the velocity, the pitch, the approach basis that. If it is something at a very nascent and early stage, then that's the best time to engage. The second stage, which is majority of the time is the case, is where they've already, you know, has spent about a month or so exploring options, internal research, and the problem continues and stuff like that. And you're kind of arriving a bit late into, I mean, the decision is not yet made, clearly, but you're a bit late with your entry into their consciousness, as it were, because they're already talking to the incumbent, they are talking to two or three other people, and you find yourself as a new entrant in a conversation which is almost 50% done in terms of decision making. And that's still a good space if you enter into a conversation when it is at the nascent stage, which is 10% or 20%, you can probably spec it the way and scope it the way which suits you. But if you're at the 50% stage, then you can't change the spec and scope unless there's something which is hugely missing, or if your company and product have something to offer that will be a game changer. If not, as is the case in most times, it's like another option, and therefore the comparative is on price. And even if the price is somewhat similar, then what all is included, how much more discount you can give, is what the customer is thinking. You know what the customer is thinking. So how do you then navigate around it? So it's important to understand what stage they are in. And it's a fair question to ask. Say on a scale of 10, and 10 being you've completely decided and you're about to sign on with somebody, and 1 being you're not decided, what stage are you in the process right now? It's a fair question to ask. And if they say, yeah, we're at about the 6 or 7, it's good to spend some time and ask, would it make a difference if we enter the race now? Would you be open to it? What would you look forward to? Would it just be a pricing conversation? Do we stand a realistic chance with a better pricing, or are you looking for a bigger problem to solve? If you want better pricing, of course, I need to know what is this problem, and for that business problem for which I need to spend some time with you. Would you be willing to invest some more time? If the answer is yes, then you can figure out whether it makes sense for you to pitch a solution or pitch for the business at all or not. Right? So sometimes as salespeople, we often get very desperate, saying that whatever they say, oh, I have to send out a quotation, be in a very, you know, chase the ecosystem down, put everybody under pressure internally. There's a big customer, there's a big deal, now rally everybody around, pull out resources and so on. Now sometimes take a breath, pull, just see, ask them where they are, whether it makes sense for you to enter in the deal right now, and also establish a connect, not just for this. And suppose you have that conversation, you realize that the runway is very short for you to turn around and everything. It's all right to not partake in that particular initiative, but you also have to remind yourself that this is not the last initiative that they're doing. They will have future initiatives. So seek partnership for future initiatives, seek commitment. And it's not like then you call them after 6 months. It's like, after this current deal is over, can we revisit the moment the deal is over? Oftentimes, many customers go through something called the buyer's remorse, which means they bought something, but they regret immediately after. So the 1 month after the purchase is a very vulnerable period. And if you happen to reach out to some of those customers, even if they've gone with your competition or with your opposite solution, then it's still worth a conversation to have. And that's when you start to build bridges. And therefore, this constant connect with engaging content, thoughtful commentary on the platforms. And so it's not like you trace and track them closely. This is the biggest piece that is missing in today's sales transactions, because the classical mistake most sales executives, sales managers, account executives do is they look at it as a very transactional, fast moving, you know, take it or leave it kind of a equation, whereas it has to be a long term investment of your time, resources, and the tools to be A, visible, B, to build equity, and C, engage, so that you get the next deal ahead of time rather than be informed almost like post facto. So have a personalized note when you send out a connection on LinkedIn. Be part of a reference or referral if you can leverage some of your network. Thirdly, engage in the groups that your decision makers are present. And fourthly, send a direct message. Use LinkedIn's messaging feature, the InMail, if you can. And don't go like a 30 paragraph or 25 line message. It could be just a quick check. Would it make sense for us to have a conversation? Here is what we talk. If there is no response, don't push. Don't be pushy. it doesn't get you anywhere. Chances are your leader or your contact is not active on LinkedIn as much as you thought they would be. And that's always a possibility. But I would not leave constant messages. At best, if I leave a message on Monday, then at best, I'd probably leave a message on Thursday as a, did you get a chance to go through? And if you haven't heard back, and this is on LinkedIn, of course, so back off. Don't spam, right? It might just become counterintuitive, because chances are in 1 week, they'd at least have logged in to LinkedIn at least once. And many leaders are constantly logged in. But if your decision maker is so busy, even in the middle of busyness, they would probably have half an hour to log in and sift through some of the connect requests and emails that land in their inbox. Next, have some virtual events. Another great entry point is to invite them to an event. Like, hey, we are having, suppose your customer is looking for a solution on security solutions, for example, then you can say, hey, we have a subject matter expert walking through security or blockchain security protocols or whatever. And would it make sense for you to spend some time? Would you be open to it? If you are engaged, if you're interacting with their gatekeepers, the executive admins or some of the people just below them, N-1, N-2, that's one of the easiest way to let them know. And they could well ignore, that's fine, but you have to make it sound a little more personalized and exclusive and say, we wanted you to listen to this, given the fact that you are an organization where our kind of solution fits the bill, and we're doing this with similar organizations elsewhere. Would you mind to spend a 20-minute conversation, listening to a 20-minute conversation about these classical problems? And you probably have to have the idea of what problem they're trying to solve, and then custom tailor, put together a quick webinar. And if one of the understandings is that you have to be at level 100 at least as a sales manager, sales executive, to hold that conversation along with your solution engineering or your technical consultant. So A plus B, you don't need to wait for any other agency to do a webinar and stuff like that. It could be an ongoing exercise. You know, at the whole buzzword is doing this consistently over a period of time. Doing this one-off webinar and saying, hey, BuzzTalk said, if you do the webinar, I'll get a ton of leads. No, it doesn't work like that, because there are hundreds and thousands of webinars happening on LinkedIn. And so do it consistently in and around your network. Invite some of the leaders and seek permission for them. And it may not happen in the first go, but second or third time it might happen. Again, references and referrals would get you. Ask them, you know, some of your colleagues are participating, some of the people, some of the common connects that you know are participating in this event, joining this event. Is there a way that you can join in as well? So that's another way that you can create some virtual events. Use a Zoom platform or do the LinkedIn audio event or LinkedIn Live, whatever that works. Then you will find that a lot of people would like this approach rather than spamming them or cold calling them to annoyance. Next is, of course, if you've gotten into a stage where it's the third stage, which is when they've almost made up their mind, like I said before, don't then bulldoze into the conversation repeatedly. Like, give me a chance, give me one chance, give me. It doesn't work like that. And it also kind of defeats the gravitas that you bring to the table, that you're desperate for the business. I think the tone that you want to leave behind with the customer is this: of course, we want your business, but we also want it on fair terms. And it can't be like it's such a no-brainer that even if it is you're the final decisions, I could give you some out of wax discount and, you know, swing you away. That's not saying too much about your company or the product, right? So I'd rather resync and say, hey, listen, I know you probably decided. However, for your next initiative, next project, what would you like to see? And so that I'd like to build a bridge and open a channel of communication between us and keep in touch and see how we can do. And so, you know, some of these guys go say, yeah, we can talk after, call me in 6 months. But what you do is, like I said before, if you can figure out from the customer, sure, I'll call you in 6 months. Can you just tell me your ongoing initiative right now? When do you conclude it? Automatically, just get an idea. Like you might say, I'll take about a month or so. Great. So make a mental note, make a digital note of it and say, call them in about 1.5 months. You know what I'm saying? And so if their deal is concluding on the 30th of the month, then the next 15th of the month, following month, or maybe even a month later, call them up and say, hey, how's it going? You know, we last spoke when you were caught in the middle of this initiative and project. Clearly you were super busy. How has it turned out? And that's a great insight that you can use, leverage LinkedIn to send a quick message to Liner. And if they are regretting, if there is a challenge, then they're sure to respond. Lastly, use things like Sales Navigator and some of the campaign managers and some of the other tools that are there. Write articles if you can, post regularly if you can. All of these add up to your value building to your network. If you use Sales Navigator, you get to know the people. Once you get to know the people, you know their departments. Once you know the departments, then you can custom tailor a post, put a hashtag and say for all directors in technology, or post for all finance people. If it kind of depends who all your product or solution is impacting in your target company. And so posts related to that is very important, right? And so you do that again over a period of time, twice a week. I'd probably recommend 2 times, Tuesdays and Thursdays, when you post an article. Ideally, you write a 500 to 600 word article with your understanding. Reposting a blog, reposting a content which is already there, basically says, I don't have an opinion, but the actual opinion is in the blog. So why don't you go ahead and read that? And so the subtext could be, next time I'll go directly to the blog. Why do I need to go through you? And so it's okay to come up with your own understanding of the vertical that you're trying to map, and your customer happens to be part of that vertical or group. And even in those groups, I write a post or article and your take on it. And that itself will become a very original take. I think most decision makers, it's fair to say, that they will love something which gets them to think. Thought leadership, it's a much abused, much overused term on LinkedIn, but happy to say that I've come across many, many key decision makers who almost many times say to me that, you know, we rarely get to see something interesting. Like, oh, this is very, and we have to often rely on, say, a Harvard Business Review or MIT or some of those, you know, big paid researchers and stuff like that. Sometimes it's important, even some of the vendors who we engage and interact with, come up with something interesting and insight which I could leverage and seek more information about. We rarely see that. It almost always turns out to be a sales pitch, whereas what you need to know is more like a overview of what's happening as the impact of the business problem in other situations and how it is being resolved and so on and so forth. And you don't need to be company specific, but you need to be industry and vertical specific, of course. And so some of these things, like I said, it's a mix of all of the above that I mentioned that you will have to try consistently over a period of time, which can then start to build your own gravitas, your own equity, your own visibility on the LinkedIn platform, which then makes it easier for you to reach out to that many more customers, that many more decision makers, instead of just sending them a blank connect request and hoping against hope for them to respond. So give these things a thought. Let me know what you thought about it. If there are smarter ways of doing it, if there are some ways, workarounds that you've figured out, then please let me know in the comments. You can find all the previous episodes and seasons of Bus Talk on www.bustalk.in. That's BASTALK.IN. It's www.bustalk.IN. And of course, you can leave a voice message if you're on Spotify. Look for the link below. And once you click on the podcast, and if you're so kind, do leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps. So that's a wrap for this episode, friends. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I did sharing it with you. It's a ongoing conversation, and in the next week, in the next episode of Bus Talk, I'm going to talk about using the analytics to drive sales decisions. How do you use the campaign manager? How do you look at engagement, click-through, carousels, and some of those things? Again, this is not paid or promoted by LinkedIn, but the fact that so many of us use LinkedIn but don't use it completely, you know what I mean? And so the idea is to simplify it a little bit and see if we could make better use for you to reach out to your target audience, target customer a little better. So in the next episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about on that, and then conclude February by talking about how to write content, and some of which you heard today. And for sales engagement, do you post a picture? Do you write a blog, a white paper? What do you do? And if so, if you're not a writer, how do you then manage to do it? And so there'll be some more subtopics around it, of course, as always. But broadly, I'll cover these two in the upcoming episodes. And if you had some requests, something that you would want me to cover, something on these lines, don't feel shy. Do send me a note. You can reach me on Twitter as well, on formerly Twitter, now X. That's hashtag Ayanisms, AAYANISMS. Once you do that, I will get a message, we'll connect. And if you want to be part of the Bus Talk WhatsApp group or Telegram group, then you've got to send me a note on Telegram, on LinkedIn, and I'm there on IN/IronBan with your phone number and consent to, you know, get updated. Of course, then I will add you to that group and you will get the contents ahead of the rest of the world. That's all I had. I hope you have a great week ahead. Stay well, stay safe, and keep listening to Bus Talk. This is your host, Ayan, and I wish you a great week ahead.